8:30 a.m. KSCP. I'm Kels Hetherington, and this is Meet the People. My guest this morning is Sean McFarlane. He is in Sandpoint talking about the construction work being done in the new boat harbor. Well, thanks for joining me on the air, Sean.
Glad to be here.
You're with URS Corporation. Now, what exactly is that, if we don't know that?
URS is a multinational firm. We've got about 55,000 employees. My firm, Trick Nyman Hayes, out of Anchorage, was acquired by URS this summer. And I am part of the Anchorage office, which is about 100 people strong. And I lead the waterfront engineering department there. And we've been a longtime servant of the Aleutians East Borough on a number of their harbor projects.
So what is the project that you are working on that involves a new boat harbor entail?
The project, as we are working on it, is for the inner harbor structures, and that includes the sheet pile wharf that was installed this past summer, as well as the float system for moorage that's going to be going in, hopefully, in 2009.
So you expect the new harbor will be open in the, I guess, this coming spring or in this fall?
We're hoping to have it done by the fall. There are a number of construction projects going on in the borough, including King Cove and False Pass in harbors. Schedule is up in the air, but our hope and intent is to bid the work this spring, have the floats built this summer, and hopefully installed by the mid-fall.
Mm. When you talk about designing the floating docks, what choices do you have to make?
Well, the first choice you make is between timber and concrete. Those are the principal construction materials. Generally, while some communities such as Kodiak, Seward, Ketchikan in Alaska have gravitated towards concrete floats, our tendency and preference is to steer remote clients such as Sandpoint away from concrete and toward timber floats, which are more easy to maintain, particularly in communities where you don't have a concrete batch plant. So once you've made the decision for timber floats, then it really comes down to features, and it comes down to mainly the type of flotation. If you've been to the new boat harbor in King Cove, you'll see a heavy-duty timber float system, which is supported on plastic tubs that are foam-filled. There is other flotation available in styrofoam billets coated with material similar to truck bed lining. That's the part of the float that you never see, and you really don't come into contact with the structural workings of the float. And then it comes down to features and what you choose for your electrical service, water, bull rails, lighting, and that sort of thing.
Let me ask you a few more questions about the choice between timber and concrete. You said that you're recommending timber for Sandpoint. What advantages does concrete have over timber, and what are the advantages that timber has over concrete?
Well, this is a debate, and you probably get a different answer from every engineer that you talk to. But in general, concrete is more expensive and somewhat more robust system. It's you could reasonably expect to get a 35 to 40 year service life out of a concrete float system, but at a much greater cost. Timber float system, like I said, easier to maintain, certainly less expensive to put in. We generally like to steer away from concrete in cold weather situations because it tends to hold ice longer than the timber floats, which tend to melt more. And frankly, Sandpoint has a history here of having timber floats and working on them, and that's what the community's used to. So it was an easy decision to steer towards that for the new harbor.
Now, you talked about some of the other features that you're considering and that are being considered by the borough. What are those additional features that you'll be putting on the dock?
Yeah, it's not the most exciting thing to talk about, but it's meaningful to the fishermen using the floats. I mentioned the new floats at King Cove, and we'd be looking at probably a pretty similar system to that. It would be galvanized steel piling, galvanized steel bull rail for mooring the vessels to the floats. And then it comes down to service. Beyond that, we're going to be looking at heavy-duty floats with electrical service that will support these larger vessels, which are going to be generally 80 to 130 feet, and to meet their needs with three-phase power service. As well, we hope to get potable water service to all the floats and low-level LED lighting along the floats just for foot lighting and safety.
Now, the electricity that will go to the floats will be in place when the new harbor opens officially?
That is the that's the hope and intent. We've had feedback through you know, the public process. I was here last night doing a public workshop, gathering input and feedback from the community. I guess the what we're hearing is that they'd really like the floats to be fully serviced on day one. Otherwise, you know, an unserviced float waiting for electrical to be installed is not really all that useful to the fishermen.
Mm.
This is going to require an extension of electrical service from the existing stub out in the old harbor, about 1,500 feet, and we need to look at the cost of that and try and wrap that into this project so that we can electrify these floats.
Now, when you're bringing water out to the float, you talked about it with some particular terms that were of interest to me. Is it going to be just a pipeline going out to the float, or is there some other method that you're considering?
Well, right now there is a 6-inch water main that runs around the perimeter of the harbor in a trench along the edge of the new breakwater. And the intent would be to run a 2-inch water line along the floats that we're going to be installing, and then those come up into a hose bib. Basically, it would look like the garden hose bib on the side of your house, and that would provide potable water to vessels throughout the harbor.
Now, is there a way of keeping track of how much water a particular boat uses so you can charge them?
Typically, you meter power, but not water. I'm not aware of a harbor anywhere in the United States metering water. It's just really a sunk cost and something that you build into your moorage rates. And then typically you would put a meter, as I said, on the power pedestals and charge for electrical service, which is more expensive.
So, and that's a pretty detailed question, I understand. What is URS's role in this project?
Well, I guess at a 30,000-foot level, we are managing the project and representing the Aleutians East Borough in all dealings on the project as primary liaison with the contractor that will be selected for the manufacture and installation of the floats. We are design engineers, so we will be finalizing the layout and working with the community and local fishermen to find a harbor layout and a float system that meets the needs of the community and the users. We'll be putting together plans and performance specifications and putting out the project for bid this spring. And that'll be bid on by qualified float manufacturers. Then when those bids come in, we evaluate the bids to make sure they conform to the intent and all of the requirements that we've set forth as designers, and make a recommendation for award. And then we would be involved throughout the fabrication and construction, making sure that the installation is going in as it was designed and intended.
So when the bids come in, you and your employees will analyze them and say, this looks good, this looks bad.
Yes. Basically, we've got I guess I would call it a prescription for how we want the float system to go in, and we're going to be soliciting detailed bids, including drawings from float manufacturers, and we would then measure those to see that they met the intent in all areas to address the needs for, you know, moorage forces and freeboard and all of the power and service requirements.
We talked about this a bit in my office, but how competitive do you expect this bidding process to be, and how many bids do you expect to get for this particular project?
We expect to get no more and no less than two bids. There are two qualified manufacturers of heavy-duty timber floats in the Puget Sound area. And they generally bid on all of the projects that we put out. And it is actually a very competitive process and system, and they have to sharpen their pencil in order to land these float projects.
Mm. Now, you say there are really two people who you expect to bid. Might there be a third or fourth?
There is another manufacturer in the Puget Sound area that generally deals in concrete floats, and we occasionally see bids from them, but really we only expect a two horse race here.
Now, do they completely understand where this project is going to be? This is entirely different than bidding on a project, say, and somewhere in Seattle, Washington. They have to actually get the gear that they will need to Sand Point and all of their personnel. That must be a major factor. They have to understand the landscape and the geographic location of Sand Point.
Yeah, it is quite different, and it's actually a two-stage process that we're going to go through with this project. We're going to divide it into the what we call the procurement stage, which is the manufacture and supply of the floats and piling, and then a separate installation stage. And we're going to put out two separate bids for that. The procurement stage will be for the manufacture of floats, and these are going out to manufacturers who have designed floats for Seward and Valdez and King Cove and other places in Alaska. So they're well familiar with the conditions and climates, and they're used to building heavy float systems for working harbors. Once those floats are built and on the ground, we'll be bidding out the work to qualified marine contractors. And there are about four contractors that work throughout the Aleutians. We had one of them in here last summer, Western Marine Construction, that we expect will also bid on this project. Another one, Lash Construction out of Kodiak, will be building in False Pass this year. And there are others as well. They're well attuned to the rigors of building in Southwest Alaska.
Mm. What are the unique elements of this particular project in Sand Point beyond the geographical location?
I guess if what you're asking is what would set this harbor apart from maybe some other harbors when it's built. We are building this harbor to support a larger fishing fleet than is typically accommodated in the Aleutian East harbors. This is going to be focused on vessels in the 80 to 130-foot range and possibly up to 150 feet. What that means is a very stout and skookum design for the floats. And so you're probably going to see a heavier duty float than you would see in most harbors, certainly heavier than we would see in the old harbor that is here right now. Additionally, whereas in the old harbor the majority of moorage is in designated stalls with fingers, here, in order to provide flexibility for vessels in a number of sizes, we're going to go with a more side tie arrangement and allow the rafting of vessels. We explored both options, both from a cost perspective and usability, and it was felt by most people in the city, as well as polling some of the fishermen and Trident Seafoods as well, that the rafted moorage would be preferable.
Mm. Are there any plans to change the existing harbor?
There are no plans to physically modify the existing harbor at this point. All of the work being proposed here is confined within the new basin. I guess I would offer that we expect that the moorage in the existing harbor would change, in the sense that many of the larger vessels, principally those operated by Trident, we understand will be gravitating into the new harbor once that's complete. That will open up moorage in the existing harbor and could open that up for people to come in from other communities.
What are the advantages to having a side tie system rather than have a slip-based system, which I think is what you described to me?
That's right. And it's difficult to convey this on radio without drawing, but when we look at the plan form that was built for the harbor, it really lends itself to putting side-tied moorage around the perimeter. To build fingers into the harbor starts to make people turn in very tight quarters. And there were concerns about turning radii, especially in, being able to maneuver vessels in winds. The side tie system really provides a smoother ease of entry and exit from the harbor. And although the rafting is not ideal, we expect that would only happen during really peak periods of moorage.
Now, how many boats do you expect to be able to put in the new harbor?
That's very dependent on the size of boats and the vessel mix we get. But if we're looking at boats in the 80 to 130-foot range and rafting up to 3 deep, it's reasonable to expect that we'd be able to get anywhere from 32 to 40 vessels in there during peak periods and perhaps more if they were really packed in.
Sure. Yeah, it's hard to answer that question, I understand, because it depends on the size of the boat you have in the harbor. You were here in Sandpoint 3 years ago and talking about this very project. And then you were here for a public hearing last night to talk to some of the fishermen about their expectations for the project and how it will proceed. Has the project changed in those 3 years at all?
Well, it has changed. I guess 3 years ago, the borough was quite proactive in beginning the public process for the floats, even though the construction of the breakwater and dredging had only just begun or was about to begin. And in the interim, it took an additional 2 years to finish the basin itself. And then last year we built the wharf, and the float system has been in conceptual design. We came in and did a public workshop 3 years ago and developed a layout which seemed appropriate at the time, but I guess through further consideration and over time there was some additional feedback that came in that felt that we should look at a different side tie system. And then responding to those comments that the borough was hearing informally, they elected to send us back out last night to have a second public workshop because so much time had elapsed and there were some of these comments. So I'm glad we did it because it seems that we're evolving the layout into something that will better serve the community.
Well, thank you so much, Sean, for coming on today. Sean is from URS Corporation. And what is your exact role at URS?
I lead the Waterfront Engineering Department at URS Alaska.
Do you just build docks and harbors, or do you do other things as well?
The Waterfront Engineering Department, we do about half our work in small craft harbors. We also do heavy civil marine structures, such as cruise terminals, piers, bulkheads. Like the wharf you see in the harbor.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. And are you expecting a major surge in demand for your services as the president's stimulus plan comes into being?
Well, we're very interested in that, obviously, with the money that's being talked about for infrastructure nationwide. But for Alaska, we're just, for right now, happy to be in Sandpoint and working for a very good client in the Aleutians East Borough.
Are there any very similar projects going on elsewhere in the state of Alaska that you are also involved in right now?
We are. We have ongoing harbor projects right now in Chiniga and Old Harbor. On Kodiak Island, we are working with the Aleutians East Borough to finish up False Pass Harbor, and we expect those floats to be installed this summer. We're currently working with the city of King Cove on the replacement of floats in their Old Boat Harbor. And we've in the city of Seward, URS, formerly Trick Nyman Hayes, has been working on all elements of their harbor expansion since 1999, which has doubled the size of their harbor.
Now, any last question here, anything that you are particularly proud of that you want noted about the harbor that you've just designed?
You put me on the spot there.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there something that we wouldn't necessarily take note of that you would like people to know a interesting and particularly good feature about the new harbor?
Well, I'm proud of all the work that we do, but I'm very, very pleased to be in Sandpoint. I love this this part of the state. I think you live in a beautiful part of the state. And I really enjoy getting my feet in the dirt on these projects and meeting with your folks locally. Really enjoy all the folks that we have to work with on this project. And this really is my favorite client in the Aleutians East to work with.
Well, great. Again, thank you for coming on the air and discussing this project. And maybe you'll be back in town. And if so, we'd like to have you back.
Thank you. I'd be pleased to.
Thank you very much. Okay, going back to the music right here at 8:30 a.m. KSDP. Tomorrow we'll have Science Friday on 8:30 a.m. because I've got jury duty. So, all right, talk to you on Monday.
We're alive on the Trailblazer Show with Bob and Bob. I'm Bob.
Yeah, me too. Today's ATP topic comes from Devil's Club, Alaska. Trevor McVee writes,
Bab and Bob, I don't like wearing a helmet. It feels uncomfortable, and I look like, well, nerdy.
Well, Trevor...
Bob, I'll handle this one.
Sure, Bob.
You want uncomfortable? Try a telephone pole sticking out of your forehead. Looking nerdy won't even cross your mind anymore. Next!
Use your head. Wear a helmet. Ride on and live to talk about it. This message brought to you by Alaska Trails, helping you to be a good trail steward.
You're listening to KSTP Sandpoint and K201DA King Cove, Alaska.